I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Good evening. Thank you for logging on for our Wednesday night prayer and Bible study this evening. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Hope that you are doing well. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord. Father in heaven, we come before you and ask that you would be with us as we study in the book of Jude and as we take some time to consider prayer requests. Just ask that you would be with our church family. Be with those both near and far, as we worship together. In Christ's name we pray, amen. At this time, John and Sandy are going to go ahead and play a couple songs for us. Count Your Blessings and Shout to the North. Maybe you might want to sing along at home, but whichever you'd like to do, they are absolutely going to minister to us in music.
Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night service. Let's lift up our voices as we sing Count Your Many Blessings and then Shout to the North.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. And are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts, who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with You. You burn this truth on our lips. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth.
Thank you very much, John and Sandy. I do have just a couple announcements to mention to you. I met with the trustees and the deacons Sunday afternoon, and they're very concerned still about the Addison County and Chittenden County numbers concerning COVID cases, positive COVID cases. Therefore, really not wanting to come back and meet in-house, but wanting to continue to do online. And we're going to revisit that. We're going to have a meeting again on March 14th. And see if those concerns have been able to be addressed. So March 14th, we're going to relook at being able to come back for in-house worship. Also, I would mention the Pregnancy Resource Center in Middlebury, which is an organization that helps minister to young moms and young families, help encourage women to choose life, so that the babies can live. And they are getting their own ultrasound machine March 5th. They are looking for a volunteer RN nurse. They have one. They're looking for another one who would be willing to come in and be trained in some basic ultrasound things and give some volunteer hours. And they are also looking for a couple young women who are pregnant. I think the note I read said about 10 weeks along, so that they can do some practice ultrasound. If you're interested, reach out to the Pregnancy Resource Center in Middlebury. Also had a successful blood drive this week. I think almost all the slots were filled. And we have gone ahead and told them we're happy for them to use the fellowship hall again for another blood drive on April the 23rd. So if you are interested, you can go on and register to donate blood. I've already registered for April 23rd. Maybe you'd like to too. They certainly say that there is quite a shortage and they're really trying to recruit folks. And then the last thing I want to mention to you is those who are involved in youth camp every year, volunteering at camp. I spoke to their director today, had left a message a while ago, and he got back with me today. Camp Tecumseh is having no camps of their own on their property this year. All their renters have canceled for this year. We're the last one. We went over all the restrictions the state has put on camps, and certainly they don't see any way that they could meet those things, and neither do I see for us any possibility of being able to meet the criteria the state of Vermont has put in place. However, I say that all to say, on April 1st, the beginning of April, the governor is supposed to address any changes he's doing for overnight camps in the state. If some phenomenal change took place, then we might revisit that. But at this point right now, the restrictions would not even be possible to meet for us to do youth camp this summer. So I'm disappointed. I know that many of you who are involved in that ministry, you're disappointed. Your children, I'm sure, are disappointed. But let's shoot for 2022 and hope that this thing is passed. The gentleman who is the director for Camp Tecumseh, he told me that the vaccine trials have not even been done for children under 16 years old. So, for instance, this summer, there would not be that possibility of vaccinating the children for them to be able to come to camp if they haven't even finished the trials yet for those young people. So that's all the information he gave me, and I'm passing it on to you. If some incredible thing happened, maybe we would reconsider, but at this point right now, it does not look at all like we're going to be having youth camp this summer. All right, let me turn it right back over to Brother John and Sandra Joe. They're going to do I'm So Happy When We All Get to Heaven and Lamb of God.
Welcome back. Let's continue in singing I'm So Happy When We All Get to Heaven and then Lamb of God.
I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took that load and gave me peace within. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burden all away. I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took that load and gave me peace within. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Your only Son, no sin too high, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty side and to become the Lamb of God. Sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, by Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love, they crucified. They laughed and scorned Him as He died. The humble king they named a fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. O wash me in His precious blood, by Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the wash me in His precious blood, till I am just a Lamb of God.
Thank you very much, John and Sandra Joe for playing the piano. John, we were just talking about it. Is it a guitar? What? You have to go ahead and email John, let him know what it is. How do we say the word guitar? Help us out. Let us know. We're going to be going to our Bible study tonight in the book of Jude, verses 10 and 11. Last week, I touched a little bit on verse 10 because we did verses 8, 9, and 10. But I'm also going to touch a little bit on verse 10 as well this evening, both verses 10 and 11. The title of our lesson tonight is The Acts of the Apostates. Now, we know the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. Well, this would be just the opposite. This is the Acts of the Apostates. And we are in Jude chapter, there's only one chapter, verses 10 and 11. I'm going to read those to you, and then we're going to go right down through those verses. Again, Jude is talking about those who are apostate, those who have turned away from the truth of God. They do not accept the Lord. They do not love the things of God, the church of God, the ministries of the Lord. So this is what he says. He says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. As we look at these two verses, as we listen to Jude address the issues of those who are apostate, he gives to us three infamous apostates, doesn't he? And we're going to look at that when we get to verse 11. But as I mentioned, I'm going to do a little bit in verse 10 first. Verse 10 starts out simply saying to us, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. And we talked a little bit about that last week. The word, speaking evil, that little phrase in the Greek, speaking evil, is It's akin to the word that means to blaspheme, to degrade, and to disgrace. And so he's saying that these people speak evil of those things which they have no knowledge of. In fact, Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 through 6, you find a text that talks about the Antichrist and the beast. And it uses the same phrase about the beast, the one who the Antichrist sends forth. We find the same words describing the beast as one who speaks evil or blasphemes against the truths of God. We are given serious warnings about that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in God." And so the Lord warns us, live a life that honors Him, do right, do the best you can, and it brings shame upon those who speak evil of the things of God and the people of God. So you and I are warned to absolutely live a life the very best we can. The scriptures teach us, get along with all men as much as is possible in you. Some people, no matter what you do and no matter how hard you try, they're going to be haters. They're going to look for a reason to say bad things about you, your church, your community, your family, your country, who knows what. They're just haters by nature. They have a hard time not hating themselves. So you're going to find there are people like that everywhere. But God warns us, go ahead, don't give them a reason to be a hater, but instead, do your very best to show the hope of Christ in you. And that way, when they do speak evil of you, he says, it brings shame upon them. But I want you to notice the second part of verse 10. Again, verse 10 says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." It's an interesting turn of phrasing in there, the last part of verse 10, as they structure those sentences in the Greek and translate it into the English. The phrase to know not, when they say that in verse 10, they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Those things that they know not, that phrase means they don't have a deeper knowledge. They only have a surface knowledge. He's saying they have no deeper knowledge. They have no true insight. They have no solid understanding of those things. Instead, it goes on and it says, however, the things they know naturally, the carnal things, those things they corrupt themselves in. To know naturally comes from the Greek word episteo, and it means a perception through the baser senses. In other words, their own lusts and their own desires, their own perception, their own ideas. And you've certainly encountered folks like that. Even in the face of truth, they don't want to know and they don't want to hear the truth. It doesn't matter whether it's about the gospel. I have certainly sat down and shared the gospel, Christ's love with people. They don't want to know. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to accept it. They're only interested in the baser understandings in their life. And we see that in everything, whether it's the gospel, whether it be politics, whatever it is, there are folks who they look at it through a lens of the baser sort, and they can't see past that. And so God warns us about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." It is really important for us to understand that those who do not have a relationship with God, those who have never put their faith in Christ, they've never accepted Christ into their hearts and into their lives, and they don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they cannot understand spiritual things clearly. They look at us and they think to themselves, what's wrong with those people? You know, why would they tithe? Why would they pray before their meals? Why do they go to church and worship? Well, I don't understand. Why do they read the Bible? Why do they teach their kids biblical principles? They can't understand it. It's not of the baser carnal man to understand those things. So God says those things are all foolishness to them. They can't understand why you and I have a passion for the things of God, that we want to minister to our community, minister to our church family, minister to our children, all through Christ. They don't get it. So 1 Corinthians 2:14 really reminds us the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So don't get angry or frustrated because people don't understand your faith. You pray for them. Pray for them that they themselves might come to a place where they can receive the Lord and have a relationship with God to where their understanding to spiritual truth opens up. Now we come down to verse 11. I know we touched on some of verse 10 last week, and then we wrapped it up this week. We're going to move down to verse 11. It says, woe unto them. Who's the them? The them are the apostates, those who speak evil of those things which they know not, those that are filthy dreamers, that defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities, those who go ahead and turn righteousness into unrighteousness. That's who he means when he talks about woe unto them. Now listen to what he says in the second half of verse 11. For they have gone in the way of Cain, run greedily after the error of Balaam, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. It's interesting when we come down to these three infamous apostates. And why do I say they're infamous? Because if you read your Bible, you know who these folks are. They're mentioned throughout the Bible. They're referred to throughout the Bible. They are infamous apostates. He starts off with the word woe. And the word woe indicates calamity or misfortune. That's what the word woe unto them means. It's not like somebody who says woe to their horse and tries to slow them down. It's not like when John comes flying down here on Route 7, he gets ready to turn into the intersection here of the church parking lot, and you can hear him yelling, whoa, because he's not sure if he's going to make it in on two wheels or four gravels. No, I'm making all that up. He doesn't do any of that. But woe in the Bible means it's an indicator of calamity and misfortune. Those things that God is saying to them are going to fall upon them. Woe unto those apostates. Now listen, he gives us three of these infamous apostates. Individuals we know, Cain, Balaam, Korah. The interesting thing about these individuals is they represent a wide variety of society. Cain, when we look in the Old Testament, he is a farmer. The Bible tells us Cain was a man who worked the land. He worked the soil. And, of course, his brother was Abel. Abel was a herdsman. But Cain was a man of the soil, a person who grew his produce. And then Balaam, the second of these infamous apostates, Balaam was a prophet teacher. He represented that group of the world that mentors and teaches others and is a prophet, an instructor. And then we see Korah. Korah is a prince related to Moses and somebody who would represent maybe people in position, power, influence. So we see these three individuals represented as notorious apostates. It's interesting when you read verse 11 and you come down through, you see a progression. It says Cain has gone in the way. He's gone in that way. And we see that Balaam ran greedily after being an apostate. And then Korah, it says, perished. So you see this progression of going in the way, running greedily after, and then perishing. All these things that are in the Bible, all these little structures of verses, all of these constructs of Greek and Hebrew, these things are purposeful from God as He inspires, and it all helps us to understand. So let's look at these three apostates, these three infamous apostates. It starts with Cain. Let's go all the way back in our Old Testament to the very, very first book in your Bible, Genesis chapter 4. And I want you to listen. I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 8, and that's going to give us a real broad understanding of who Cain is. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why are you angry? Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. He murdered him. So we find Cain and Abel. Cain, a tiller of the soil, Abel, a herdsman. Well, going all the way back to Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, we know that God sacrificed an animal for that sin and actually clothed Adam and Eve in the skins of that animal. And all indication is, as we look at this, certainly these young men were taught that the sacrifice for sin, the offering for sin, is shed blood. In fact, the scriptures teach us there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. In other words, there's no sacrifice or price paid. There's no cleansing for sin without shed blood. Now, we know Jesus Christ is ultimately the one who sheds that sinless Lamb of God, sheds his blood for all the sins of mankind. But throughout the Old Testament, they were drawing a picture of the coming Messiah, the coming sacrifice. And that would have started all the way back with Adam and Eve in the garden, with God sacrificing an animal for their sin. So Cain and Abel would have been taught that the acceptable offering to God is the sacrifice of an animal, shed blood. But Cain decided, well, I don't want to do that. I don't like working with animals. I'm a man of the soil. So I'm just going to bring some fruits and some vegetables, and I'm going to create a little altar, and I'm going to offer that to God. And then when God was not happy with that, Cain became wroth. He became angry. And it says he eventually killed his brother. He slew his brother. And God said to Cain, what's your problem? You know, if you did right, you would have been acceptable. But when you willfully do wrong, then that's not acceptable. That's sin. So when we look at this infamous apostate, we are reminded that you and I, if we know to do right and don't do it, that is sin. If we choose to push away the message of God and say, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do it God's way. You know, I'm not going to trust in Christ. I want to trust in Allah. I want to trust in Buddha. I want to trust in a totem pole. I want to trust in the sun, the moon, who knows what. Then we go apostate from the truth, just like Cain. So Cain, he went in the way of unrighteousness. He went in the way of being an apostate. So look at verse 11 again there. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. So you and I, we understand that God warns us. Look at Cain's example. Learn from it. Avoid it. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Then also Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we're reminded how Cain knew better. The Lord said to Cain, why art thou angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You see, he really did exactly what Proverbs 16:25 is talking about when it says, there is a way that seemeth right in a man's own eyes. Cain decided, I'm going to go after that, which seems right to me. But it was not the way of the Lord. So let's look at the second one. We had Cain, and the second one he gives to us in verse 11. Listen to what it says again. For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. So who is Balaam? Balaam is that prophet teacher. And he was offered by King Balak of the Moabites. He was offered money to proclaim a curse against the armies of Israel. So he was offered a fee to curse God's people. As we look at this text, we understand that God is saying, Balaam ran greedily. And that word ran there is actually a structured Hebrew word that is a visual word meaning like a flood cascading after something. And so you visualize that water rushing down. He's saying, that's how Balaam was about this. It's an opportunity to get some money. And he's rushing to do it. God told him, don't do it. And Balaam pleaded with the Lord and persuaded the Lord. And God told him, do not go ahead and proclaim a curse against Israel. And Balaam did it anyways because he wanted to go and make some money. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God are those that are apostate. And you and I, we have to be careful. What would we sell our faith for? What would we sell our testimony for? What would we sell our relationship with God for? Would we turn on our brothers and sisters in Christ? Or would we turn on our church? Or would we turn on our faith for a few bucks? Or to avoid a little persecution or a little ridicule? Are we not strong in our faith and true to our faith? Balaam, for a few dollars, for a few coins, for a little bit of profit, was willing to disobey the Lord and proclaim a curse upon the nation of Israel. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, what shall it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world, but lose his own soul? God poses a real serious question to us. What's the profit to make all the money in the world and then to lose your own soul? It's an interesting thing as people get older, especially sometimes the richest of people, they at some point they realize no matter how much money they have, they cannot buy another day if their time has come. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be a king. You can be a president. You can be an entrepreneur. You can be the richest, most powerful person in the world. But money can't buy you one more day on this earth if your time has come. Neither can money buy you heaven. For you and I, we are saved by grace through the mercy of God. When we come to Him and we lay our soul at the altar and we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Savior. I accept the price you paid on Calvary for me. And we trust in His salvation for our eternal life. Balaam was willing for just a small profit to go ahead and disobey God and call a curse upon the nation of Israel. And it teaches us in verse 11 that he ran, like flood waters, greedily after the error of that reward. So now we have the third one. The third one is Korah, a little less talked about. Cain and Balaam we hear a lot about. Korah a little less. Korah is a cousin to Moses, according to Exodus chapter 6, verses 18 through 21. You look and it gives you the genealogies, and as you come down, you find Korah, and you find Moses, and you find that they are cousins. What is Korah's sin? Let's go back here to Numbers 16. Maybe you're not familiar with Korah. Turn with me to Numbers 16, verses 1 down through 3. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi and Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel. 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So understand who Korah is. Korah is cousin to Moses. He's raised up 250 other renowned men that are part of the nation of Israel. Remember, they've left Egypt. They're in the wilderness. Look at what takes place. Verse 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And Aaron is who? Aaron is Moses' brother. And they said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. So what is it that Korah and the men with Korah are doing? They're saying to Moses, Moses, you know, you've took too much upon yourself. You think that you are our leader. You've assumed the role of being in charge of us. Look at us, Korah says. We're all holy. We're all good people. We're all as good as you. Well, the difference is God didn't call Korah to lead the nation of Israel. He called Moses. And Moses will come on down through this text throughout the chapter, and we'll find Moses talking to the Lord about this and God guiding Moses. And Moses will tell Korah and all his men, he'll say to them, now what I want you to do is I want you to take an instrument that you put incense in that indicates that you are holy men. And I want you to meet me at the tabernacle. And Moses stands before God and basically says to the Lord, Lord, you show us, who have you called to lead the nation of Israel? Korah or me? And God clearly shows that he has chosen Moses. And he does the most amazing thing. He opens the earth and swallows and closes up on Korah. And then the 250 men, fire comes and consumes them. So God makes a real point that Korah had gotten this place of pride, almost like Satan, when Satan said, I will be as the Most High God, and he was going to overthrow God. Well, Korah thought he was even as a Moses, and he was going to overthrow Moses with his 250 men of renown. But God made it very clear, this was not to be. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. So you find Korah sowing discord in the nation of Israel. You find Korah as one who has that proud look, that lying tongue. We find Korah as one who has a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations against Moses and Aaron and the leadership of the nation of Israel unto God. As we look at this, we understand that Korah was one who came to destruction. He came to destruction because of his rebellion against God. He was apostate against the truth of God, leading the nation of Israel, teaching and instructing the nation of Israel concerning the things of God. He would rather be like the devil, who would like to rise up and displace God and take his place. So when we look at this text there in verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. You and I in our lives, as we look at the book of Jude, we take the warnings to heart and we say, I need to make sure my faith is genuine and real. I am not apostate, rejecting the truths of God. I'm embracing the things of God. That is the practice of my faith. Yes, the world may not understand that. And that's because they're spiritual truths and they're not spiritual people. But you and I that know and love the Lord, we understand the things of God and our passion for the things of God. Cain could not understand. Balaam, he could not understand. He was more interested in a few bucks. And Korah was power hungry. He was wanting to displace the man of God so that he could rise up as a voice, just as Satan rose up against our God. So as we look at this study through the book of Jude, each of us has to step back and say, is my faith pure and real? Is it genuine and honest? Am I truly walking with God and know my Lord as my Savior? Okay, prayer request for our prayer and Bible study. I would mention to you today, I got a text from Suzanne Hardison, Smokey and Suzanne. Their son, Eddie, who lives up in Montreal, today was tested positive for COVID. So pray for him if you would. And of course, pray for our community and our state. Our Addison County is down in the single digits for positive cases. But some of the other counties around us still have some pretty high numbers. But across the entire nation, they say the numbers are coming down. People are getting vaccinated, which helps to buffer those numbers. And hopefully maybe this thing is running its course. As more people get it and they have the antigens, all of that impacts it just slowing down. But we need to pray for that, and then pray for your church, pray for wisdom, pray for your pastor as I lead the church, and pray about the boys and girls that aren't going to have camp this summer. Spiritual youth camp is a revival, a week-long revival for young people. They come away from all their concerns, all the things that barrage them every day spiritually, and they come to camp, and it's a time of spiritual renewal and rededication. Last summer, we weren't able to do it. This summer is definitely not looking good. At this point right now, we're not going to be able to do it. We certainly will listen to the governor on April, the first part of April. He says he's going to announce what they're going to allow in-state for youth camps or overnight camps. So pray for us about all those things. And I pray for you. I pray that you're well. I hope you're doing well. I know we don't see each other during this time. I was figuring it out the other day. In the last year, I have done almost 6 months live stream and 6 months in-house worship. Because we did March, April, and May live streaming. And now we've done the end of December, January, February, and the first half of March. When you look at it all, it's really close to a half a year of online versus in-house. So pray that we're able to get things pulled back together and as a community be healthy and safe. Certainly, I talk to lots of pastors who are having in-house worship, but I also talk to pastors who aren't. And our circumstances are unique and different. Almost every day, I get a phone call or a text from somebody who's just hoping we are well because they've heard about the outbreak that we had over Christmas. Today, I got a text from, it was a phone call. I got a phone call from Florida, and the lady just wanted to wish us well, let us know that she's watching services from Florida and praying for us as a church. But then also when I talked to the Camp Tecumseh gentleman, first thing he asked me is how you guys are doing after your incident, and we talked about that. Our church has a little unique circumstance right now, so pray for that to pass. Pray for us to be well. Pray for us to be able to get past those things so that we as a church can be healthy and whole. Thank you for logging on. Look forward to seeing you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we can worship together right now via live stream, but in time, back together again. And I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to honor you. Help us to exalt you. Help us to be a witness and testimony for you, whether at home or in our community, on our jobs, wherever it may be, help us to stand strong for you. Lord, we certainly thank you for the many, many blessings you have given us. We thank you that you go through not only the valleys, but the mountaintops. You're there with us, both in rejoicing and in weeping. You are there. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.